And turn with me, if you will, to the gospel as recorded by John, chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 562 of your pew Bibles. John chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well and said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Pray with me this morning as we examine these verses and this text with this thought in mind: standing on the word of the Lord. Standing on the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. Some of us can remember the time when you got sick, the doctor would actually come to your house and see about you. That was a long time ago. Now you have to go to a healthcare clinic and wait, and even then you may not get help if you don't have enough insurance or the right kind of insurance. That the healthcare system is in crisis today is denied by only the very rich and the very well off. And the shameful fact about the healthcare system in America today is that those who provide healthcare insurance don't want to cover sick folks. If you're sick, they don't really want you. If you get sick, they look for ways to cancel your policy and turn you away. So we end up with a system where those who need healthcare the most can't get it. In that regard, the healthcare system today in America is much like the one described in our text here today. According to the rumor, an angel would stir up the water in a certain pool, and the first one of the lame and crippled that got into the water got healed. For all the rest, it was sorry. So those who were least able to run, those who needed help the most, couldn't get any help. That was the rumor, the superstition. But that's not how God's healing really works. And Jesus confronted that superstition in our text today as he deals with a man who had been in line for 38 years but could not get his health care policy renewed. Jesus demonstrated that God's healing does not come forth by ritual or by recital of special words. God heals through the power of his word and through the strength of our faith. Jesus came to this man and asked him a question: "Do you want to be healed?" And Jesus asked that question because he knew that he alone had the power to cure all that ailed this man or any other man, woman, boy, or girl. That was true then, and that's true today. The bad news is that we all have ailments that go way beyond the physical. We have spiritual, psychological, and emotional ailments as well. But the good news is that Jesus can heal them all. Jesus can heal them all. The power is in his word. We just have to have enough faith to stand on God's word. So since Jesus alone can heal our condition, whatever it is, we must stand in faith on his word. We must stand in faith on the Lord's word. How do we do that? When we say we're standing on the word of the Lord, what does that look like in real life? Well, the answer's in the text. So let's turn to the text to discover the imperative, the necessary ingredients for standing on the word of the Lord. In verse 6, it says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. In order to stand on the word of the Lord, we must answer the Lord when he calls us. Answer the Lord when he calls us. In each of our life, the Lord speaks to us in a certain way. We have to learn how to answer him, hear him speaking to us. Do you want to get well? What kind of question is that? Of course I want to get well. I've been laying here 38 years, crippled, and you ask me if I want to get well. Things just don't seem to work out for me. Somebody else gets the breaks, and I get left behind. This man had not only a crippled body, but he had a crippled mindset. He had been waiting for someone else to do something for him for 38 years, and he was convinced in his mind that he would not get well unless someone put him into the pool at the right time. He was convinced that his healing, his well-being, his success was in the hands of the people around him. And if they didn't help him, he would never get well. That may sound familiar. That is a victim mindset. When you develop the victim mindset, you will refuse the opportunity to succeed no matter when it's presented to you because you think it depends on someone else. And Jesus had to come to this man to let him know that all of his success came from the Lord. When you can get convinced that your blessings and your well-being depends on someone else, you are crippled spiritually and psychologically. Your success depends on God and you. You trust God, he'll make it happen. Your success depends on God and you. So if you trust God, he will make it happen. And those of us who are senior citizens, those of us who have fought this fight for a long time, need to make sure we tell these young people that their success don't depend on those around them. It depends on their relationship with God. Because people will tell you that you can't do anything. But you can do anything that you go to God and ask for and keep your hand in God. So you need to get the mindset, we need to get the mindset out of our young people that they're dependent on someone else. Keep yourself in God's hand. He could do anything. Jesus knew that before he could heal this man physically, he had to heal him spiritually. He had to let this crippled man know that his healing was dependent upon the word of God. It did not depend on what others thought or did, but on the power of the word of God. So you need to know that your healing depended upon the word of God. Whatever it is in your life that needs healing depends on the word of God and your faith. It does not depend on the government or the church or even your family. It depends on how ready you are to receive the word of God. And that is why we must answer the Lord when he speaks to us. Again, the Lord speaks to each one of us in a certain way that's unique to us. And when God is speaking to you, you have to learn to answer him. This man by the pool of Bethesda came up with a lame answer that was beside the point. The Lord put the question to him to bring his attention to the fact that there was no help to be found in any place that he had been already looking. He had been there for 38 years, and there was no help in that. So he asked him, do you really want to be healed? And what Jesus was saying to him, just look to me. There was no help in the pool. There was no help in the crowd. There was help only coming from God. And the Lord wants you to know that you can be healed. Whatever your condition is, you can be healed. Just look to him. But the Lord wants to know if you want to be healed or do you want to just stay right where you are? Since Jesus alone can heal our condition, we must stand on faith in his word. You won't stand unless you have faith in the word of God. In order to stand on the word of the Lord, we must answer the Lord when he calls us. That's the first thing we must do. If we ignore the Lord's call, we will not begin to receive our healing. But there's more we must do than just answer. After we answer, we must obey. Look at the text again as the Lord continues in verse 8. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. In order to stand on the word of the Lord, we must obey the Lord when he commands us. Jesus ignored the excuses that the man gave and gave him a command. He says, rise, take up your bed, and walk. In order to heal us of our spiritual handicap, the Lord will quite often tell us to do something that we don't believe we can do. He'll tell us to do things that we don't think we're capable of doing. So, he does that to get us to understand that the power is not in ourselves or in our capability, but the power is in him and in his word. So he told this man, first of all, to rise up. You have been sitting there for 38 years. First of all, rise up and then take up your bed and walk. Get up from where you are. You've been in the same spot for too long. You need to get up. You need to stand up. So that's the first thing we need to do is stand up on the word of the Lord. You don't believe you can stand, but Jesus said, I'm commanding you to stand. That is what the Lord says to us as well. He commands us to get up from our comfort zone. We get into comfort zones, and we really don't want to move. We really don't want to do anything different than what we've already done because we feel we can't do it. But the Lord commands us to get out of our comfort zone and go into those places where we can serve him the best. We get comfortable in one place, even if it's a bad place. You get in the ruts, and you don't want to move, even if you know you should get out of something. And the Lord has commanded us because human nature resists change, even change for the better. That's why the Lord made it a command to this man. He said, rise, 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 take up your bed. So we need to stop for just a minute and talk about this bed. Why did the Lord even bother to mention this old bed that the man had been lying on for 38 years? Why did he just say, rise, get up out of here, and leave all this stuff behind? That would have been logical. That would have made sense. Rise and just leave all the signs of your failure and all the signs of your weakness behind you, and just move on from this place of weakness to a new place. Well, the trouble is that we remember those old places of weakness, and often we long to go back there. When the new walk gets rough, we often long to go back to our old ways and old habits. As bad as they may have been, we get the longing to go back because we were comfortable there. After God freed Israel from slavery in Egypt, and they made their way to the promised land, they were on their way to the promised land. Some of them started to long for the comfort and the safety of the food that was back in Egypt. They longed to be slaved again. They said, we had it pretty good back there. And Moses had to put down a rebellion because some of them wanted to go back to where they came from. As long as we feel we can fall back on our old ways, we won't be committed to going the new way. When the new way gets rough, we'll run back to the old way if it's still there. We'll run right back there if it's still there. For example, many, many years ago, I used to smoke cigarettes. And when I smoked a lot. And I quit because I discovered that I was spending too much money on cigarettes. Way back then, my rent was $90 a month, and I was spending about $50 a month on cigarettes. So think about that. About half the price of rent I was spending on cigarettes. And I tried over and over again to quit. And I kept trying and kept failing. Because the reason I was failing, because I kept a pack in case in my house, just in case. As I was quitting, I get the overwhelming urge to smoke. I knew I had that pack there. And guess what? I always had that urge, and I always went and found that pack that I had hidden. And I never really quit until I got all of the cigarettes out of my house. So even when I got the urge, there was no place for me to go back and find the cigarette. When you make yourself a safe place, a familiar place, you'll go back there when times get tough. Jesus told this man, rise, take up your bed and walk. You don't want to come back to this place. So take away all this junk that you used to wallow in. Take it away from here. Clean it up so you can't come back here. He says the same to us today. When I heal you, clean up all the baggage that would draw you back into bondage. Clean it up. Take it away. Throw it away. Don't look back. The Lord's command to us is the same it was to the man by the pool. Rise, take up your bed, and walk on off. In order to stand on the word of the Lord, we must obey the Lord when he commands us. We must obey the Lord's command. And sometimes that seems very difficult because we don't like to leave our comfort zone. It's also difficult because sometimes what the Lord commands us to do gets us in trouble with the folks around us. Look at verse 9 as the text continues. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. In order to stand on the word of the Lord, we must trust the Lord when he sends us forth. We must trust the Lord when he sends us forth. Because when you obey the Lord's word, not everyone's going to be happy about it. Not everyone's going to cheer you, encourage you. Some folks are going to want to know what happened to you. Why did you change? Who do you think you are? You don't do the things you used to do, so you think you're better than everyone else. No, I'm just trying to obey the Lord. And that is when you have to trust God and walk by faith. Even though you're walking alone, even though you're walking upstream in the crowd you're walking in, you need to walk according to the word of God. And the Bible tells us to expect opposition to occur whenever we start to walk with God. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. not might, but will suffer persecution. This man was walking for the first time in 38 years, maybe for the first time in his life. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he had been crippled. It just tells us he had been in that place for 38 years. Now he was walking, and there was folks criticizing. What are you doing walking around here carrying your bed? They had some reason to criticize, even though they should have been rejoicing with him, that he was walking after 38 years. Don't you know it's unlawful to carry a bed today? And this man gave the best answer that anyone could give. He said, the man who told me to walk told me to carry this bed. The man who empowered me to walk told me to carry this bed. The man who stopped to see about me when other folks just walked past me for 38 years, that man told me to carry this bed. So I'm carrying it as his word. I don't even know what his name, but this man convinced me that he had power in his word. The man said, now I'm standing on my own 2 feet. I'm carrying my load at the word of the Lord. We need to carry our load on the word of the Lord. The man was walking in gladness, so he didn't care about who criticized it. He says, criticize if you want, but I'm going to keep on going on his word. Scheme if you want, but I'm going to keep on walking on his word. Persecute if you want, but I'm going to keep walking on the word of the Lord. In order to stand on the word of the Lord, we must trust the Lord when he sends us forth. Even though he sends us into difficult areas, difficult situations, difficult territory. So we return to the question with which we started. How do we stand on the word of the Lord? Since Jesus alone can heal our condition, to stand on the word of the Lord, we must first of all answer his call. We must answer the Lord's call. We must rise up from our victim status and respond to the gospel message. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you feel that life has laid a heavy burden on you, don't complain. Just bring your load to the Lord. He can carry you. Since Jesus alone can heal our condition, to stand on the word of the Lord, we must obey his command. We need to get rid of our excuses, burn the bridges to our old sinful ways and habits, and walk in the newness of life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you need to rise, take up your bed, and walk away from those things that used to hold you back. Since Jesus alone can heal our condition, to stand on the word of the Lord, we must trust the Lord when he sends us forth. You need to understand that everyone will not be happy about your walk with the Lord. But you need to walk anyway. Trusting God to see you through. Sometimes laughing, sometimes crying, but still trusting. Sometimes hoping, sometimes hurting, but still trusting. Sometimes you're triumphant, sometimes you're in trouble, but you're still trusting. Sometimes you're walking in power, sometimes you're in persecution, but you're still trusting the Lord. Sometimes in happiness, sometimes in heartache, but you're still trusting. Trusting the Lord no matter what comes your way. You can trust the Lord because he's a friend like no other. A preacher wrote a song years ago that testifies of the supremacy of Jesus' friendship. He says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. In just a moment, I'm going to give an altar call. But as the choir comes, I'd ask the whole congregation to stand now as we prepare our hearts to come before the Lord in prayer. God is able to heal whatever is ailing you. And for those of you who have already come to him and laid your burden down, we need to get re-strengthened day by day, because sometimes the world will beat us down and we feel like we can't make it. We feel like we're in a rut. Jesus the one says, come to me and I'll get you out of that rut. Come to the Lord and bring your troubles to him and let him renew you, re-strengthen you, revive you.
Jesus knows all about our struggle. He till the day is done, there's not
Jesus can heal all your wounds. You need to come and let the power of God operate on you once again. Come and ask the Lord to cleanse you all over again. Submit totally to God's will. And allow the joy to flow in your life once again. If you've been trusting the Lord for a long time, you just want to thank the Lord for being your rock and your shelter. When the call is given, you need to come and just lay your heart open before the Lord.
He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.